Gemara Erubin
has been sponsored by Mr. Isaac Jamal and his wife Celia for their success, for their children's success, health, happiness, beracha, parnasa, v'atzlacha, bechol ma'aseh yedehem.
Daf Ayin Aleph. Today's daf is being studied with Fu'ash Shalema, Norman Silberstein Ben Mary. Enna refanalo, enna refanalo, betoch she'ar chole Yisrael. Amen. Today's daf is being studied by Yilishmat Acham Baruch Rafael ben Miriam and Avraham ben Esed. Ruach Hashem tenichem began Eden. Amen. We are beginning on daf Ayin Amud Bet, and we are going to begin two lines from the bottom. Tashema, so comes the Gemara and says, Yisrael beger Shiruyin b'mgura ahat. If you have, let's say, a Yisrael, a Jew, and a ger, a convert, that are living in one area, which means each one is living in a different room within, let's say, an area that's opened up into a chatzer. So therefore, they're osir each other. So what happened? Umet ager. The ger died. Now a ger does not have yoshim. He doesn't have anybody to inherit him. And therefore his assets become hefker. So the Gemara says, depends. If the ger died, meaning on Friday, Israel acher bin chasav osir. Even though the other Jew acquired his property, so he's going to be osir. Because now, well, the Gemara will explain. Again, so afal pi she'ozik Yisrael acher bin chasav, even though another Yisrael was zoche in the nechasim of the ger, osir, he's osir the hatzir now, because now you have somebody else that's in the hatzir. He now was not part of the eruv. He joined. Misha hashecha. If, let's say, the ger died after Shabbat started, afal pi she'lo hechzik Yisrael acher, even though another fellow did not be mahzik, did not acquire the property of the ger, in osir, he's not osir the hasir. Now the Gemara is going to explain exactly what this braita means. Gemara says, hagufa kasha. We have a question from the braita. Amart, you said, mebe'od yom, afal pi she'hzik. You said if the ger died on Friday, even though nobody acquired the property, so still that Yisrael that's in the hasid is asur for him to carry. So the Gemara says from the Lashon afal pi, even though is mashma ve'lo me'ba'ya ki lo yehzik. It's mashma that what? That without a doubt, if nobody acquired, certainly it's going to be asur. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? That implication is not an understandable implication. Adrabah, on the contrary, kiloi hazik, if nobody acquired the property of the ger, so there's only one guy left in the chatzir, lo asar, and it should not be asur for him to carry in the chatzir if nobody acquired it. So again, the question of the Gemara is, the lashon of the braita, afal pi shehazik, even though somebody was mahzik, it shouldn't say even though, it should say only in the case where somebody was mahzik, where somebody acquired the nechasim of the ger, so now already you have two different dwellers in the chatzir. But Smashma, when it says afal pi she'hazik, then it goes without saying if nobody was mahzik. So Tanat Gemara says, ki lo hazik lo asad. If nobody acquired it, so then the ger is gone, he's dead. All you have left is the fellow in the hatzir. So the Gemara says, amara papa, ema, so read it instead, afal pi she'lo hazik. Read the braita as if it's saying, even though nobody was mahzik, still it's asur. And the Gemara will explain why should that be so. The Gemara says, no, you can't read it that way. Veha afal pi she'hazik ketani. This is what he means. If the Braita's Lashon is afal pi she'hazik, how could you come and tell me that it should be read afal pi she'lo hazik? So comes the Gemara and says, hachi kama. This is the true meaning of the Braita. Afal pi she'lo hazik bebe'od yom. Even though Yisrael did not acquire the property of the ger on Friday, he didn't acquire it until Shabbat. And therefore, technically going into Shabbat, the Hatzer belonged only to one Jew. And therefore, since going into Shabbat, it only belonged to one Jew, because again, the Ger died, and nobody acquired his property, so there's only one resident, so technically it should be permissible. So Gemara says, no. Kevan dahava le'lachzik mebe'ujom, since potentially the fellow would have been able to be mahzik in the nechasim of the Ger mebe'ujom, and therefore had the ability to be oser, so therefore at going into Shabbat, it was questionable what's going to happen. Is somebody going to acquire or not? So since it was not obvious or clear going into Ben HaShemesh, what's going to be the status? The Gemara's din is Oser. We look at the Hatzer as if it went into Shabbat being Asur, since potentially somebody was able to acquire it, even if they didn't acquire it until Hashecha. So therefore, it's as if the Braita said, Afal pi shelo hechzik Yisrael min chasav mebe'odyom, ela mehashecha, which means even though Yisrael did not mahazik in the nechasim of the ger on Friday, but he did it on Shabbat itself, still, since he had the ability to be mahazik on Friday, so therefore it's going to be a suit. So that's the first part of the braita. Now the Gemara explains the second part of the braita. Misha hashecha, if the ger died after it got dark, meaning after Shabbat, afal pi shelo hechzik Yisrael acher, en oser. So the deen is that even though somebody was not mahzik, somebody did not acquire the nechasim, it is not going to be asur. Again, the ger died on Shabbat. So already the eruv was kone ben hashemashot, and he subsequently died. So the Gemara says, even if somebody was not mahzik, so therefore it's not asus. The Gemara says, what do you mean? Afal pi shelo hechzik Yisrael acher. In that case over there, you're telling me that it's not asur. Velo mebaya ki hechzik. And you're telling me it goes without saying ki hechzik. Adraba, ki hechzik asar. On the contrary, if somebody was mahzik, in that case it really should be asur. Why? Because when somebody is mahzik, lechaura, yes, even though when you're going into Shabbat, now since the ger died on Shabbat, going into Shabbat, the eruv was in the eruv. So obviously, the chaura going into Shabbat, it was good, so it should be good the whole Shabbat. So the Gemara is just asking a question like this. Why does the Braita say, Afal pi shelo hechzik Yisrael acher? What does it mean, even though the big chidush is, it should say, even though he was mahzik, it's not osir. The chidush is, even if somebody does acquire it on Shabbat, it's not osir. Why does it give you the chidush on the side of the obvious? Of course, im lo hazik, it goes without saying that it's mutar, because nobody acquired that shoot of the ger, and he's not there anymore, so it's just one guy in the hatzer. So what is the Gemara saying, afa pi shelo hazik Israel, implying that it goes without saying ki yachzik. Adra, ki yachzik is the chidush. So Amar Papa, the Papa said, Ema afa pi shehazik. So read the bright as if it's saying that even though somebody was mahzik on Shabbat, still it's mutar. Gemara says, what do you mean? You can't read it like that. Ve'ha afa pi shelo hazik etani. But the Braita says the exact opposite. So Gemara says, Haki kamar, read it like this. Afal pi shehazik mishachashecha. Even though, let's say, somebody else came into the Hatzer and acquired the ger's property from when it got dark, from Shabbat, kevan delo habe lahazik mebe'ojom, since he was unable to be mahzik mebe'ojom, because the ger was still alive, and therefore ben HaShemashot, it was obvious that the ger was alive and the eruv was good, so it went into Shabbat clearly and evidently with a good, solid eruv. Therefore, eno osed, therefore even though he's mahzik on Shabbat, since there was no way for him to be mahzik going into Shabbat, eno osed. And that's what the Braita means to say, as if the Braita says, afal pi shehazik mishachashecha ben ikse ager, even though, let's say, mishachashecha, the fellow was mahzik, he acquired the nechse ager, still, since he was not able to be mahzik before Shabbat min be'ojom, eno oser. So that's what the Braita means. So now we understand the two cases of the Braita. Now we get to the question. Katani miyat desha, but we learned in the desha, meaning in the first case, oser, which means, in the first case of the Braita, what did we learn? That if the ger died mebe'od yom, and somebody was mahzik the nechasim of the ger on Shabbat, so it's going to be Asur. And we explained why. Since he could have acquired it going into Shabbat, so therefore, technically, going into Shabbat, it was not obvious that the Hatzer is Mutar, because somebody could have acquired it, so it's Asur. So the Gemara says, Amai Osir, Nibatel, why should it be Osir? Let the fellow that acquired the Nechasim of the Ger, let him have the ability to Mivatel on Shabbat his rights in the Hatzer to the other fellow. Which means, we learned earlier, according to Rav Nachman, that a Yoresh, an inheritor, has the ability to bequeath or relinquish rights, just like his father did. Remember, we learned that the Yoresh is considered Kar'eh De'abu. And therefore, let's say the same thing by somebody that acquires something from a Ger. Well, he's not Yoreshim, he just acquired it. Let's say the same thing over here, that he'd be considered like, as if to say, Kar'eh the Ger. He'd be considered as if he's the leg of the Ger, where he steps into the place of the Ger. And therefore, just like the Ger could be Mevatel, so too, this guy, now that's Yoresh on the stuff of the Ger, or acquires it, on Shabbat he should have the ability to relinquish his rights to the other member. So why did it say Oser? Why is he Oser? Adrabai has the ability to relinquish his rights. So the Gemara says, you're right, my Oser Diktani, you know what it means when it says Oser? It actually means until he is mevatel his reshut. So it's asur until he is mevatel. Rabbi Yohanan Amar, Rabbi Yohanan comes and gives a different answer to this braita. And he says, Mani, who's the author? Actually, not only of this braita, but the braita that we learned above on Daf Ayin Amud Bet. Over there, we learned the case of a Yoresh, an actual Yoresh, where we said also the Yoresh is Osir. And we said that the Yoresh is Osir, it means if he was not Mevatel. But if he wanted to be Mevatel, then he can. So he has a different answer. He doesn't learn when it says Osir, it means until he is Mevatel. Rabbi Yohanan has a different understanding. Rabbi Yohanan Amar, Matnaita, those Beraito that we learned above, Mani, who's the author of it? Bet Shammai, he's following the opinion of Bet Shammai, the Amre, in Bitul Reshut, B'Shabbat. Because he holds that you're not allowed to make Bitul Reshut on Shabbat itself, Ditnan. Because we have a Mishnah. Me'em Matnai Nutrim Reshut, until when is a person not to be Mevatel Reshut to the other members of the Hatzer? Bet Shammai Omrim, Me'be'ojom. Bet Shammai says only until Shabbat starts. Ubet Hillel, Omni Bet Hillel argue and say, Meshetech Shach. Bet Hillel holds that even after it gets dark, it is permissible to make Bitul Reshut. So for those Braitot over there, talk about a Yoresh, and talked about the Mahazik of Nechse Ager, that says it's Osir, because those cases we're talking about where it's on Shabbat, and therefore those are following Bet Shammai, and Bet Shammai says Bitul is Asur on Shabbat. So now the Gemara says, Amar Ula, my Ta'amad Bet Hillel, what's the reason why Bet Hillel allows Bitul Reshut on Shabbat? Seemingly, this should be under the restriction of the Sur to make a Kinyan on Shabbat. Navi says, "Im tashim meshabat raglecha, etc. Vechibatom emesuchef secha v'daber dabar." That you're not allowed to do your needs on Shabbat, and part of the needs is doing transactions. The Hakamim explained that it's a gezerah that you might come to write. In any event, in this case over here, how does Bet Hillel allow you to be makneh the reshut to somebody on Shabbat? The Chaurat's making a kinyan. So the Gemara says, Naase keomer klach etzel yafot. It is analogous to the case of klach etzel yafot. What is that case of klach etzel yafot? Let's say a fellow anoints, or appoints, I should say, his friend as a shaliach to go take teruma from his fruits. And he didn't tell him which fruits to take from. And normally, if he doesn't stipulate, he usually means take from the mediocre fruits. And now, let's say, the Baal HaBayit sees that his friend actually took from the better fruits for Tiruma. So he tells him, hey, you should have taken from the best fruits for the Tiruma to give to the Kohen. So in this case over here, the Halakha says, if indeed there are better fruits available in the field, Tiruma to Tiruma. Because then you can assume that when he said, I want you to take from the better fruits, that he meant that from the beginning. And therefore, the terumah is a terumah. However, if let's say there are no better fruits, so then we say he meant it sarcastically when he said, why don't you take from the better fruits? Meaning he's trying to say, what did you do? Why should I take from the better fruits? And therefore, if there is indeed better fruits, then the assumption is what? That's what he means. That he means, I wanted you to take from the better fruits. And that's what I meant from the beginning. So the same thing with Mevatil Deshut. When a guy's Mevatil Deshut on Shabbat, he's showing you that really on Erev Shabbat, he also had a will to, that the Hatzet should be permissible. And therefore, he only forgot to make an Eruv on Erev Shabbat. And therefore, when the guy's Mevatil on Shabbat, we look at it as if he's not doing the Kinyan on Shabbat. He's doing something already that he wanted to be done on Erev Shabbat. On Erev Shabbat, he could have made an Eruv. He forgot to make an Eruv. So therefore, on Shabbat, when he says, I'm makneh my reshut, he's just showing us that that was really his intention from the beginning, just like the guy with the terumah. When he says, klach etzel yafot, he wants you to take the better ones, it means that's what I meant when I told you originally to go take the terumah. So therefore, according to Beit Hillel, it's not a kinyan on Shabbat, because the kinyan is really happening me'erev Shabbat. Because we just see from his words that he's bevatil reshut, we see his indication what he meant for Erev Shabbat. So comes Gemara and says, so therefore technically the Kinyan is happening on Friday according to Betila. That's why there's no problem of Mimisohav Secha. Amar Abaye, so Abaye comes along and says, yeah, that's not going to help the case of two Jews with a Nukhri that are living in one Hatzer, and they didn't make an Eruv, nor did they rent the Nukhri's property. Umet Nukhri b'Shabbat, and the Goy died on Shabbat, and the deen is that now you have two Jews left. So the deen is that one Jew can mevatil his reshut to the other. My klach etzel yafot ika. What's the sevar of Beit Hillel over there? There you cannot compare it to the case of klach etzel yafot, because you can't say that the bitul that he makes on Shabbat is a revelation what he meant on Friday, because on Friday he wasn't able to mevatil either, because as long as the goy was around, you cannot make a bitul. You have to get rid of the goy. So therefore, in that case over there, how do you explain the logic? Which means, you want to explain the logic of what, Beit Hillel, that you can make bitul on Shabbat, because it works with the sivar of klach etzel yafot, that I say what, that on Shabbat when he's mevatil his reshut, that was really his da'at, me'erev Shabbat, where he had the ability to make bitul. Fine, so the kinyan's happening on Friday, technically. But that doesn't help me in the case where you have a goy living in the Hatzir. Technically, bitul could not have been done on Friday, because the goy was still around. So how do you explain Beit Hillel's logic? So the Gemara says, the machloket over here is a different machloket. Meaning, what's the machloket between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel? Can you make a kinyan on Shabbat or not? So it says, the machloket is like this. The Beit Shammai, Savri Beit Shammai says, bitul reshut mikna reshutau. Bitul reshut nullifying the reshut is actually making a kinyan. Meaning you're making a kinyan, you're giving over your, making it an acquisition. You're giving over your reshut to somebody else. And making an acquisition on Shabbat is asur. Umikniya reshuta b'Shabbat, asur. Ubeit Hillel savri, Beit Hillel says no. Istaluke reshuta b'almahu. All you're doing is you're relinquishing your rights to the reshut. You're not being makneit to the other members of the Hatzer. What happens is that the Hatzer now becomes hefker. And therefore, a person is zocheh from the hefker on Shabbat, that's okay, but it's not an acquisition. To relinquish yourself from the Hatzer is permissible on Shabbat. So that is the logic of my Beit Hillel says it is permissible to make bitul reshut on Shabbat. Comes the Mishnah. Ba'al HaBayit, if you have, let's say, a Ba'al HaBayit that's living in one of the Hatzerot, and the Hatzer is opened up into a Mavui. Shaya Shutaf Nishchenav. And he made a partnership with his neighbors, which means he has other neighbors that are living in Hatzerot, in the same Mavui. Laze B'yayin V'laze B'yayin. And they have a partnership together. They're all sharing wine together. Now, they didn't place the wine specifically for shituf purposes, meaning, let's review the halachot. In order to carry in the mavui, you need to make a shituf between all the hatzerot in the mavui. Happens to be that the Ba'al HaBayit of one hatzer, he made a shituf, happens to have wine, together with some other members of the hatzer. So the hadush is, Einan Sirichim Ne'arev. They do not have to make an official Eruv, meaning of Shitufim Mevuot, in order for them to allow to carry in the Mavui. Because the fact that they have a shared area with wine from all of them together, so therefore that can serve as the Shituf. Even though, like I said, they didn't have Kavanah for that when they put it there, but since they have a common food item, so therefore that can serve as the Shituf, and therefore they can carry in the Mavui. So it says, Leze b'yayin v'leze b'shemen. However, if let's say one, he made a shituf with yayin, or wine, and one with oil, so then already the Mishnah says, Sirichim na'ariv. So then already you have to make another shitufim v'ot, because yayin and shemen are not considered a legitimate shituf, and we will see why. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon's lenient. He says whether they all partook in wine, or even in wine and oil, still they do not need to make an eruv, meaning it is considered a shituf mevu'ot. So again, we have three opinions in the Mishnah. The first opinion is the yayin and yayin, where everybody says enav sedichim na'arev, but however, if you have oil and wine, you would. And you have the Shitav Rabbi Shimon that says whether it's wine, or wine and oil, you don't have to make an eruv. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rav. Rav comes along and gives a condition. And he says, Ubechli Echad. That which Tanakama said, that if the Balabayit, let's say, became partners with his neighbors with wine, so you have three, you know, portions of wine that are together, the only time it will become a legitimate eruv if it's all the wine is in one keli, then we consider it a eruv. Now, Rashi comes and tells us that even though we learned above on Daf Memchet, that according to Beit Hillel, you do not have to place the eruv in one keli. Rashi says that's different, because over there, the eruv was collected specifically for shituf purposes. So then it doesn't have to be in one keli. Whereas here, happened to be, they just happened to have a common area of wine that they all sharing in. So there, since it wasn't designated for the eruv, it must be in the same keli. Amar Rava, Rava says, Daikana, may I bring a proof from the Mishnah to support this, Diktani, because it says in the Mishnah, Leze b'yayin v'leze b'shemen sidichim na'arev, that when you have an eruv with wine, right, for one guy he joined with wine and one with oil, then already it's not considered a shituf. So the Gemara says, I amar b'shlema, if you want to say, resha b'chli echad, that the resha with the wine, it's talking about it's in one keli, therefore it's good, v'sefa b'shnei kelim, and the sefa that's talking about wine and oil, it's talking about where it's in two kelim, separate, shapir. So now we understand the difference. That one keli is considered all united, therefore it's good, but if it's, let's say, wine and oil, and wine and oil is referring to a case where it's in separate kelim, so that's why the Mishnah says not considered a roof. Ela I amart resha b'shne kelim, v'sifah b'shne kelim, but if you're going to say that the resha, the case of the wine is talking about two kelim, and the case of the wine and the oil is also talking about shne kelim. Mali yain v'yain, mali yain v'shemen. What should be the difference? Bottom line is, they're both foods, and they're both, everybody partook here. So therefore, must be the difference is not in the food item, whether it's yayin and shemen. So what if different items? Eruv should be in eruv. The difference is what? Kelim. And they have to say the yayin and the yayin is talking about it's in one kelim. Therefore, it is a good eruv. And the yayin and the shemen is talking about where it's in two kelim. Therefore, it is not considered a shituf. The Gemara says, no, that's not so. Amar le'abaye, Abaye comes along and says, I can really tell you that the yayin and the yayin can be placed in two separate vessels and still is considered eruv. Yain v'yain ra'ui le'adev. Since wine can be put together, and is normally put together in one keli, because it's the same item, even if it's in separate kelim, it'll be a legitimate eruv. However, yain v'shemen en ra'ui le'adev. Normally people don't put wine and oil together in the same keli. Therefore, if they're in separate kelim, it's not going to be considered an eruv until they actually place them together in the same keli. Whereas when it comes to wine, even if they don't put them together in the same keli, since it's normal to have them in the same keli, it's the same item, so then already it will be considered an eruv. Whereas when it comes to yayin v'shemen, it actually has to be in the same keli, because in order to make the shituv. So again, it comes out we have different shitore. According to Rava, Rava's understanding, the whole difference is if it's in two kelim or one keli. If it's in two kelim, it's never good. And if it's in one keli, even if it's shemen and yayin, it will be okay. Whereas according to Abaye, Abaye is saying no. The Hiddush is of even Yayin and Yayin in two kelim will be good, since it's normally placed in one keli. But Shemin and Yayin, since it's not normally placed together, when it's in two kelim, it will not serve as an Eruv until it is actually together. And now the Gemara continues with another Shita. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon said, Ehadze vehadze en tzedichim na'ariv. Whether you made a shituf with Yayin, or whether you made a shituf with Yayin and Shemin, the shituf is considered a shituf, and everybody can carry in the mavui. You do not have to make an Eruv. Va'afidu leze b'yayin v'leze b'shemin. So the Gemara asked the obvious question on Rabbi Shimon Levi. Even if, let's say, he made an Eruv with one with oil and one with wine, which two different items, how could that consider the shituf? It's two different substances that don't go together. So Amar Rava said, "Hachem b'maraskina." We're talking about a specific case, and we actually have the picture in the art scroll of this case. It's behatzer sheben shnei mevuot. Basically, we're going to have a case is you have a middle hatzer, and it's surrounded by two mevuot. So the guy in the middle made a eruv, let's say yain, with the guys on his left, in order they can carry in that mavui, and with the guys on his right, he made a eruv with oil. So he didn't make it in the same mavui with wine and oil. Ela, in one he did it with wine, and in one he did it with oil, allowing the middle and the right guys to carry in that mavui, and the middle and the left guys to carry in that mavui. True, granted, it would be asur for the outer hatzerot to carry in the opposite mavuis from each other, only the mavui in front of their homes, but according to Rabbi Shimon, we don't make a gezerah that the outer hatzer might come to carry in the mavui on the other side. Elah will only carry on the mavui in front of his house. And therefore the Gemara says, what are we talking about? Behatzer sheben shtei mevuot. And therefore, what's the case? The Rabbi Shimon the Talmud, Rabbi Shimon is following his reasoning based on what we learned in the Mishnah above on Daf Mem Heh. The Tanam we learned in the Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Shimon. If you remember the case, Lema davar domeh l'shalosh hatzerot apetuchot zu lazu uftuchot l'shut rabim. Let's say you have three hatzerot that are all next to each other, open to each other, and they're all open to the reshut rabim. Erbu shtayim ha'chitzonot ima'im sa'ayit. If let's say the two outer hatzerot made an eruv with the middle hatzer, he muterit ima'im, he is permissible to carry on both sides, the middle guy, vehen muterim ima'im, and they are permissible as well, to the middle. But the outer ones that did not make an eruv together are going to be forbidden on each other. So the same thing over here. When it comes to the case of mavui, we have the outer, you have the two mavuis on either side, and with one mavui, the middle guy made a eruv with wine, and on the other side he made it with shemen. And the chiddush is we do not make a gezerah that's going to be asur, because maybe the guys from one chatzir will carry in the subsequent mavui, just like we didn't make a gezerah in the case of the three chatzirot with the middle chatzir making eruv on both sides. So we say the middle are permissible to both sides, and each side respectively is permissible to the middle, and we don't make a gezerah that the chitzoniyot are going to carry to each other. So the Gemara says, Amale Abaye. Abaye says, Midame. Is this analogous, this case that you're comparing it to? Hatam ketani shtaim haitzonot asurot. Clearly over there in that case it says the two outer hatzerot are forbidden to each other. Haka ketani en sedichim la'arev klal. But here it says that once already in the case that we're talking about where the Ba'alabayit made, let's say, a shituf with yayin and shemen, so it says in Siddiqim La'ariv Klal, it's mashmat, nobody has to make an eruv. And if you're learning the case, it's talking about where it's talking about two mevuot, the chaura, the outer hatzerot are forbidden in the opposite mevuot away from themselves. And therefore, what do you mean in Siddiqim La'ariv Klal? The chaura, you need an eruv, not for the mavui in front of the hatzer, but for the other mavui on the other side. How come then the Mishnah says, in Siddiqim La'ariv Klal? So the Gemara says, no. My in Siddiqim La'arev, Shechenim Bahadeh Ba'alabayit. The neighbors to the guy in the center, they do not have to make an Eruv, because that Eruv is legitimate. This side with Yain, this side with Shemin. Aval Shechenim Bahadeh Adadeh, but the Shechenim themselves, meaning the outer Hatzerot, themselves to carry in the opposite mivuot, tzirichim, they would need to make a shituf. They would indeed need to make a shituf among themselves. Comes the Gemara and continues. But Rabbi Yosef Amar. Rabbi Yosef comes along and he's going to give a different interpretation to Rabbi Shimon why he allows wine and oil even to be part of a shituf. So it says the Bishimon, the Rabbanan, the Bishimon, and the rabbis of the Mishnah that say Shemin and Yain is not considered a good shituf. Bifutat, Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri, the Rabbanan Kamepage. They're actually arguing in a similar machloket that Rabbi Yohanan ben Nuri and the rabbis had. Ditnan, we learned Shemin Shesap al Gabe Yain. You have, let's say, in a keli, you have Teruma. And as you have Teruma of Shemin that's floating on Yain. When I got to Vulyom Beshemin and somebody was Tameh that touched the oil which is floating on top, but he did not touch the wine, Lo Pasad Ila Shemin Bilvad. So the first opinion says he's only posil the Shemin what he touched, because he didn't touch the oil, the wine on the bottom of it. He's not posil. Once they're in the keli together and they're on top of each other, they're considered one item, and therefore if you touch the top oil, the wine becomes Tameh as well. So comes Gemara and says we can apply this machloket to our case. The rabbis that say that you cannot have a shituf in a mavui with wine and oil because they hold it as separate entities and therefore it's not considered joining. However, Rabbi Shimon can be a hamenuri, and Rabbi Shimon that says you can have wine and oil as part of the shituf, because he holds like Rabbi Hanan that says that once they're in one keli, they're considered one entity. Comes Gemara and continues. A new opinion. Tanya, we have a bright that Rabbi Elazar ben Taddai Omer. Rabbi Elazar ben Taddai taught Ehadze vehadze sirichim le'arev. That he's holding that what? Even if they made a shituf with yain and yain, meaning the people in the chatzer, the carrying the mavoy, all participated in yain, not only yain and shemen, still, they still need to make an eruv, meaning the eruv is not considered legal. So the Gemara said, what do you mean? That fidu leze b'yayin v'leze b'yayin? Could that be? That even if they join in wine, where it's all one group, where they're all joining with wine, why should that not be considered a good eruv? Amar Rabba, Rabba explains. Ze babel gino v'shafach, beze babel gino v'shafach, kula amal lo peligi davi eruv. If let's say each guy comes with his pitcher of wine, and he pours his chelik of wine, his respective chelik, into a big barrel. Everybody's going to agree it is considered an eruv because everybody gave a specific portion of wine. The machloket over Israel, let's say they bought a, in partnership, the members of the chatzir bought a barrel of wine. Now, the problem is, true, their partner's in it in the sense of the money, but the bilazam etadai savar en bidera. In this case over here, it's not discernible which part of the wine in that barrel belongs to each person. It never had a separate designation. Bishlama, when they came and poured their wine in to the barrel, so they were, at one point, their wine was noticeable that it belonged to them. Now, she'enken over here, in this case over here, when they just bought a barrel and partners, we don't know which wine in that barrel belongs to which residents. And therefore, even in yain, in such a case where they went partners on the barrel, it will not be considered a legitimate shituf. The rabbanan sabi, the rabbi will say, yesh berira. Rabbis will say, no, yesh berira, meaning, once already you have a chelik in the barrel, so we can say that each part of wine is designated to the respective owner, and therefore the barrel can also serve as a shituf. Comes Gemara and says, in a different understanding of our Mishnah, Rabbi Yosef Amar, Rabbi Elazar ben Taddai v'Rabbanan. You know what the machlok between Rabbi Elazar ben Taddai v'Rabbanan is? Which we, till now we're explaining it, what the machlok is there berera or is there not berera? And Rabbi Elazar ben Taddai says what? En berera, and therefore, when you have a barrel of wine, since it's not discernible of whose wine is whose, and it never had it was never separated or designated for each person, because it was bought together, so therefore he says what? En eruv. So the Gemara will explain, no. Rabbi Elazar ben Taddai v'Rabbanan's machlok is like this. Besumchin al shituf b'mkom eruv kamepalgeh. There was a great machloket that if you make a shituf amongst the mivuot, does it allow those people now in the hatzerot to carry as well? The mor sabar, the bir azab et adai holds in sumchin. Meaning that even though you made a shituf mivuot, that does not allow to carry in the hatzerot themselves. Meaning all you can do is carry in the mavui, but you still have to make what's called an eruv hatzerot to carry from one hatzer to the other. Umor sabar, and the rabbis of the Mishnah hold sumchin. Meaning no, once you make shitufim mivuot, the eruv hatzerot is automatic. Now, the Gemara, we have to explain exactly how this machloket is dependent on what we're saying. So explanation is like this. Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai says, even wine and wine is not considered an eruv. What do you mean not considered an eruv? Meaning, vaday, it's considered a shituf for the mavui. For sure, you could use the wine that's together in the barrel to be a shituf for the mavui. But it's not going to serve as a eruv for the hatserot. And therefore, when it says en eruv or eruv, it means legabe hatserot. But vaday legabe the shituf mevuot, it'll work. And the hachamim will say, not only is it a shituf legabe the mavui, but once you have your mavui covered, it covers as well the hatser. Amar of Yosef mina amina la. So Rav Yosef comes along and says, how do we know that the bin azam bet tadai and hachamim's machloket is in this subject if shitufim mevuot can serve as your eruv hatserot? Because we have two statements of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rab. The Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rab halacha k'Rabbi Meir. The Amar of Biruna Amar Rab halacha k'Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai. She's Rab made two statements. One statement he said is halacha follows Rabbi Meir. That clearly says, as we're going to see later on, shituf does not help in a place where you need an eruv. Meaning, I should explain it like this. That when you make a shituf for the mavui, it allows you in the mavui, but it does not allow you in the hatserot to carry from one another. Meaning you also need erubeh hatserot. That's the halakha follows like Rabbi Meir. That's what Rab said. That why you cannot carry from hatser to hatser relying on the shituf. And then Rab made another statement. Halakha k'Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai. Which means what? That If both of them made an eruv with wine, still it is not going to be considered an eruv legabe what? Legabe the hatzerot. So the Gemara says, "My ta'ama, what's the reason why Rav was posek both like Rabbi Meir and like Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai?" Meaning, why would he posek like da'at yachid? Both these opinions are going against the shita of the hakamim. Rabbi Meir, the hakamim argue on him. And they say that in the place of a shituf, you don't need an eruv for hatzerot. And we know that Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai, also the rabbis argue on him. He says you cannot make a shituf with yayin and yayin, but the rabbis say you can. So therefore, why would Rabbi Meir, why would Rav posek like both these rabbis? Ela must be, the Gemara says, lab mishum dehad tamahu. Because must be their machlok is really based on the same principle. And what is that principle? The principle is that what? The principle is that the issue is that you cannot be somech on your shitufim mevuot for your erubeh hatzerot. And therefore, halakha follows Rabbi Meir that says what? Shituf is not mu'il in a place where you have a shituf. Is not going to help you for your erubeh hatzerot, and that is the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai. That's the point. That's the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai also. Why does wine and wine not work? Meaning it doesn't work for the erubeh hatzerot. It works for the mavui, but it's not going to allow you to carry in the erubeh hatzerot. So you see what? That Rabbi Meir's statement and Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai's statement is basically on the same principle. So that's why he was sick like both of them, because it's really have now two opinions that are basically saying the same thing. Amar Abaye, v'i had ta'ama, he's even if you want to say it's fine, that what, they're basically saying the same principle, that what, you cannot somech for erubeh hasarot, just when you make shitufim mevuot, tartil cheta lameli. Why did Rav have to be posek like both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai? Which means it would have been enough for Rav to be posek like Rabbi Meir. Because we're going to learn later on, Rabbi Meir is going to say that even in a case where you made your shituf with bread, listen to what we're saying, even if you made your shituf mevuot with bread, which is the best shituf mevuot, still you cannot rely on that for your erubeh hasarot. So kol sheken halakha does not follow, halakha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai, kol sheken, because Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai was talking about where you're making the shituf with yayin. you're making the shituf with yayin, it doesn't work for erubei hasidot. So if you're telling me even if you make the shituf with bread like the bimi'id, it doesn't work for erubei hasidot. So kol sheken you go like the bimi'id, but that if you made it with yayin, it's not going to work. Why would he have to be posek like both rabbis? Seemingly it would have been enough for him to be just posek like Rabbi Meir, and all the more so I would know kol sheken that a shituf that was made with wine or even oil, that it's not going to be permissible to use it as an erubei hatzerot. So comes the Gemara and says, ha kamashmalan, you know what the Gemara is coming to teach you? De lo avdinan ketre chumre be'erubin. She's normally, we have a rule, very important rule, that when you have a certain tana, and this tana is mahmir in two stringencies in the laws of Erubin. So once a rabbi is stringent in two different laws in Erubin, we do not follow him. So therefore, we have to discuss the Rabbi Meir's opinion. The Rabbi Meir has two chumrot. His first chumrah is number one, when you make a shituf, Erubei Hatzerot is not covered. That's number one. Number two is mahmir, that even if you used bread for your shituf, it will not work. So therefore, that's a second machloket. So therefore, again, number one, shituf is not enough to cover your erubei hatzerot. And that's number one. And number two, that is machmir against the rabbis that say that that they say if you made it with bread, it will cover. He says, no, even if you made it with bread, it's not going to cover. So therefore, we could not posek like the bimi'ir, because he's machmir in these two cases. So therefore, we had to split it up. We said like this, halakha follows the bimi'ir in the sense that what? That in eruv, hatzerot is not covered by the shitufeh mevuot. And also, we posek like the bil'azar ben Tadai. Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai says what? That even if you made your eruv out of wine or oil, it's not going to help for the eruv hatzerot. So say it like this. He was specifically Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai first. That what? If you made with wine, it's not going to help. Then he went further, that we hold like Rabbi Meir, that even if you made it with bread, it's not going to work as well. So therefore, basically, he found two opinions, and therefore, it's not the same opinion. You have one opinion, Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai, that's telling you what, that erubei hatzerot is not covered by the shituf, lefachot, at least when you make it with wine. And then he says, lachach Rabbi Meir, that even when you make it with bread, it is not going to be viable for the erubei hatzerot. So therefore, you see over here, that it's teaching you, lo avdinan ketre humre, that we don't go like tuhumre, which means, we cannot just be posik like the bimi'ir. Because the bimi'ir has two humrot. He has the humrah of that the erubei, the shetufim mevot does not cover the erubei hatzerot. Number two is even if it's used with bread. So therefore, first we will posek the erubei hatzerot. That says what? If you used wine, it's not going to cover the shetufim, it'll cover the shetufim mevot, but it's not going to cover the erubei hatzerot. So we've got to be Elazar ben Tadai's opinion. Now we're taking the bimi'ir in one humrah. Meaning in what? We're taking the humrah of Rabbi Meir that what? That in bread, you also do not go with the shituf is not going to cover the erubei hatzerot. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen ve'amen.